Tonight, President Trump goes on the attack against America's closest allies.
Germany is totally controlled by Russia.
The president lashing out, leveling accusations, and making new demands while looking forward to a meeting with Putin. The price you pay for everything from food and electronics to designer goods and furniture could be about to soar. Washington again escalates its trade war with China. The survivors of a plane crash in the mountains in Alaska. Tonight, how everyone on board made it out alive. A tragic explosion claims the life of a volunteer firefighter, a husband and father who rushed to save others.
I feel like it's not real that he's just at the fire station or at the bar and that he'll be home tonight.
Tonight, a community in mourning. A new controversy swirling around the founder of Papa John's, with the man behind a pizza empire has admitted to saying that has him in hot water.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. President Trump took America's European allies to task at the start of today's gathering of NATO leaders in Belgium, lecturing them over the amounts they pay for their own military defense. But it was Germany for whom the president saved his most pointed remarks in an attack that seemed to be primed for the TV cameras, accusing Germany of being, quote, captive to Russia. The president's combative tone threatening to further strain long-standing relationships just days before his summit meeting with Vladimir Putin. Our White House correspondent Hallie Jackson is traveling with the president. Hallie, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. Even with those confrontational moments, President Trump ultimately did back an agreement that reaffirmed the strength of the NATO alliance, and he praised the U.S. relationship with Germany. But only after a day of diplomatic drama that now has some critics concerned about how the rest of the trip will go.
At a summit that's supposed to symbolize solidarity, President Trump's tough talk went over like a lead balloon before this cocktail chat with Germany's leader, a blistering breakfast.
Germany is totally controlled by Russia.
Characteristically combative, the president derided a controversial pipeline deal between Germany and Russia.
Germany, as far as I'm concerned, is captive to Russia because it's getting so much of its energy from Russia.
Merkel, dismissive, responded, Germany is in control of its own decisions. The president also demanded allies double what they pay into their own defense budgets from 2% to 4%. Not even the U.S. hits that goal.
Pledge increasing defense spending to 2%. And let's start with that.
Joining the president, his team of top advisors, like Chief of Staff John Kelly, who appeared annoyed at points. The White House clarifying it's because he'd hoped for a full breakfast and only cheese and pastries were offered. Defense Secretary James Mattis is in Brussels, too. The Pentagon says the secretary looked forward to productive talks today. But multiple sources tell NBC News Mattis has actually been worried the president might make tensions worse with military partners. That worry extends to Capitol Hill, where lawmakers are looking ahead to Monday's meeting between the president and Vladimir Putin, who's worked to undermine the alliance.
I'm very concerned that we have a rough meeting with NATO. And then some kind of conciliatory meeting with Putin, and it works against our country's national interest.
While a joint declaration by all NATO nations, including the U.S., takes aim at Russia's aggressive actions, it's not clear how the president will handle Putin one-on-one. The risk? Irritating friends while looking friendly with their enemy. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Brussels.
Excellence, mesdames et messieurs.
I'm Richard Engel. Tonight, following President Trump's criticisms, the UK announced it's sending over 400 more soldiers to fight alongside U.S. troops in Afghanistan, part of NATO's mission there. And when not fighting, NATO is preparing. We were there for recent drills right on Russia's doorstep.
This display of military might is about sending a message to Russia and its increasingly nervous neighbors, a message that any attack will immediately send powerful American warships roaring into battle.
NATO admits it has an over-reliance on the United States for its funding and resources, but tonight allies fear President Trump's constant criticism over costs is just the beginning.
NATO is obsolete, it's old, it's fat, it's sloppy.
I think President Trump is fundamentally undermining the transatlantic alliance. He questions the value of the alliance.
That makes many nations worried, especially small ones close to Russia. In Latvia, volunteers are joining the National Guard in record numbers. And in Norway, a hit TV show imagines a future under Russian occupation. That may be a stretch, but for many in Europe, NATO is seen as more vital now than ever. Richard Engel, NBC News.
Now to the price you pay for many of the things you buy for yourself and your family. President Trump is threatening to dramatically ramp up his trade war, promising tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese exports. That's on top of the tariffs that kicked in last week. As NBC's Tom Costello reports, American families could start paying more for everything from food to furniture and a lot of other stuff in your home.
From the grocery aisle to the hardware store to your next oil change, America's trade war carries the risk of inflicting real economic damage and costing Americans real money.
The administration has put anywhere from a 10% to a 25% tariff on Chinese goods coming into the United States. It's likely that at least some of that cost increase will be passed along to consumers.
The list of items included in another $200 billion of tariffs on Chinese exports could now hit every room in your home. On the outside, doors, windows, and air conditioning units that are made in China. Here in the kitchen, made-in-China utensils and appliances like stoves and refrigerators are being targeted, and food, too, including some vegetables and seafood. Upstairs in the bathroom, everyday items like shampoo, nail clippers, makeup, and towels. Throughout the house, TVs, lamps, fire, and burglar alarms that come from China could also cost more. The U.S. wants China to stop stealing or demanding trade secrets from American companies in China. But China is already retaliating with its own tariffs. Among those targeted, American farmers who sell to China. Chris Gasser exports 20% of his soybeans. Prices are falling.
If things got a lot worse, I mean, I could maybe have to stop farming, but I don't think that it'll get that bad, and I really hope that it doesn't.
The president tweeted this morning, "I'm fighting for a level playing field for our farmers and we'll win." But tonight, there's growing bipartisan concern about the cost of an escalating trade war. Tom Costello, NBC News, Rockville, Maryland.
Now an amazing story of survival. New details on that plane crash in the mountains in Alaska. The Coast Guard raced to find the wreckage and incredibly found everyone on board alive. And tonight, more are out of the hospital. We get the latest from our national correspondent, Miguel Almaguer.
When rescue teams first spotted the wreckage, the battered seaplane had just collided into a remote Rocky Mountain. All 11 aboard survived, the pilot using his cell phone to call 911.
She says, "We just crashed. A friend of ours has a gash on her face," and she said she's pretty scared right now.
Melvin Newbill got this text from his wife, Christine, just after the plane smashed into the mountain.
By the time I got there, she was still in shock. It was pretty terrifying experience.
The plane, this single-engine Sea Otter, was flying from Alaska's Steamboat Bay to Ketchikan when it plunged into Mount Jumbo on Prince of Wales Island. One of the 11 survivors tells NBC News the plane came out of the clouds and immediately hit the mountain. There was no warning, no time to prepare. Lieutenant Commander Joseph Plunkett was among the first to arrive at the wreckage.
Absolutely downright, very challenging conditions. Some of the worst conditions I've flown in.
Tonight, Taquan Air is cooperating with the NTSB, who has questions for the pilot. Company, which offers tours of Alaska's raw beauty, on this flight offered a view 11 people will never forget. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
For the first time since they were rescued from that cave in Thailand, we are seeing new images of that boys' soccer team as they recover from their ordeal in a hospital quarantine. We're also getting a look at dramatic new video taking us inside the rescue. Those heroic divers carrying each boy and their coach on that dangerous escape route. NBC's Janice Mackey-Frayer is on the ground there.
Tonight, a first glimpse at the boys after that daring three-day rescue mission, appearing relaxed, wearing face masks and gowns, waving from their hospital beds. Their families kept 6 feet away behind glass to prevent infection. Health officials say the 12 boys are in good condition, mainly because of their coach, 25-year-old Ekapul Chatawong. He was the last person out and was the weakest. In a letter, he apologized to the boys' parents.
Happy.
His aunt telling us she's relieved. His uncle still worried. He must feel remorse that he went there with the kids, he said. But what's done is done. The incredible mission, a half mile underground, each boy sedated to ease anxiety. Tethered to divers to get them through the dark, narrow passages, new video showing parts of the rescue, the boys carried on stretchers.
We knew that if we didn't act when we acted, then there was not going to be a successful rescue.
And just after the last person was out, the main water pump failed, flooding the cave, sending rescue workers scrambling to escape. By then, the boys and their coach were free, reunited at the hospital, where they'll spend up to a week. At the school where six of the boys go.
Did you jump up and down?
Yeah, around the house.
Their friends anxious for them to come home.
Once blood tests are clear, doctors will give the go-ahead for the moment that divers and rescue workers were even wondering they would see those kids hugging their families. Lester?
Well, it's great to see them waving in their hospital beds. Janice, thank you very much. In Wisconsin, a massive gas explosion rocked a small town, killing a firefighter, a father of two, and injuring five other firefighters. One building was destroyed, several others badly damaged, and tonight officials believe they know what may have caused it. NBC's Ron Mott is there.
After a powerful natural gas explosion leveled a tavern, calls for victims. Yeah. Just moments before the blast, volunteer firefighter Corey Barr rushed to evacuate the area, including his pub. But in trying to save lives, the 34-year-old father of twin toddlers, Aubrey and Haley, lost his own. His wife, Abby, now wearing his wedding band around her neck.
Life's too short, so just make sure that you tell your loved ones how you feel. You know, don't let the petty little stuff get in the way of what the true meaning of life is.
Chef Patrick DePula was across the street at the time. He knew Barr well.
Made sure our tenants upstairs were evacuated. And then as I walked out the front door of the building into the side of the building, the Barr house exploded. As a father with two small daughters, it's heartbreaking.
Officials say a contractor struck a main, sending gas spewing through sewer lines underground. Authorities say five other firefighters, two police officers, and seven bystanders were injured.
We will keep on building from this. We are hurt, but we will come back.
But tonight, the community and a family mourning the loss of a hero who won't.
They feel like it's not real, that he's just at the fire station or at the bar, and that he'll be home tonight or in the morning, and I'll get another hug or another kiss.
Ron Mott, NBC News, Sun Prairie, Wisconsin.
There is a risk tonight for more severe weather in the upper Midwest after a tornado struck in North Dakota last night. Tragically, a newborn was killed and two dozen people were injured. And another threat we're tracking, Hurricane Chris, is now a Category 1. Chris is 500 miles from the North Carolina coast. It's moving northeast, not expected to make landfall in the U.S., but could produce life-threatening rip currents. So still something to watch carefully. Still ahead as we continue tonight, dramatic moments in court as a kidnapping survivor comes face-to-face with a serial killer who for months held her captive. Also, Papa John's founder feeling the heat, the offensive remark that he's apologizing for tonight. We're back now with the courtroom drama in South Carolina today. A kidnapping survivor confronting the serial killer who murdered her boyfriend, sexually assaulted her, and held her captive inside a storage container for months. NBC's Kerry Sanders with what happened when they came face to face.
Tables turned on a convicted serial killer. Kayla Brown today staring down her captor, Todd Kohlhepp.
How long were you held captive?
65 days.
2 years ago, when detectives in South Carolina broke into a steel box on his property, they found Kayla shackled to a wall. Then, 30 years old, she had been kidnapped and raped. Her boyfriend, who had been with her, shot and killed.
Todd Kohlhepp shot Charlie Carver 3 times in the chest.
Today on the stand.
Did the actions of the defendant during those 65 days cause you pain?
Yes, sir.
There was a part of me that wanted to issue my own justice on him. He is the evil incarnate. He's the devil.
Brown's lawyers laying out a case that Kohlhepp's actions, including kidnapping, assault, infliction of emotional distress, resulted in pain and suffering. Brown now asking for $3 million for medical expenses and $360 million in damages.
If it wasn't for everyone out there, I don't think I would be here today.
It wasn't until Kohlhepp's arrest that 13 years of unsolved murders were resolved after the one-time real estate agent confessed to killing seven people. Kerry Sanders, NBC News.
All right, we'll take a short break here. The founder of Papa John's, John Schnatter, is apologizing after a report revealed today that he used a racial slur on a conference call in May. Papa John's released a statement from Schnatter that reads, "News reports attributing the use of inappropriate and hurtful language to me during a media training session regarding race are true. Regardless of the context, I apologize. Simply stated, racism has no place in our society." The fallout, Schnatter has resigned from the board of trustees at the University of Louisville. Now to the massive inferno at a St. Louis gas station, not one but two Lamborghinis at the pump, one of them destroyed moments before a separate video caught a nearby minivan driving off with a gas nozzle still in its tank. The tank snapping the hose and spraying fuel, firefighters believe the gas ignited when it hit the sports car's engine. Luckily, no one was hurt. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.